Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Okay. So, one shoe off, and if you have a cold drink handy, take a sip or two or eight.
One for me, one for my homies.
All right. So, let's continue to talk about these once wonders. There was another one that was on Nat's list, and I wanted to talk about that. Did Regina use magic to cause Snow to go into early labor because she was ready to enforce the dark curse? That's in the realm of possibility, I think. I mean,
I suppose, but I don't think that Regina really cared whether she had the baby or not. You know what I mean?
Well, no, she cared. She wanted the baby.
Regina did?
You bet. I mean, that's what remember they were looking for the baby.
She was looking for the baby. Yeah. Right. The guard was looking for the baby. Maybe she was going to take the baby, but would she have caused her to go into early labor? Wouldn't she have just...
Well, okay.
Do you know what I mean? I think it was just natural.
Another side of the question on the list is, was Regina watching watching them so that she can kind of tell when the birth was coming? So to plan the curse at exactly the right moment so that she could come in, grab the baby, have everything. But...
I suppose it's feasible.
Yeah.
It's funny, that thought never really actually crossed my mind because I didn't think she was interested in taking the baby.
The guards were looking.
I know they were looking, but no. See, that's the thing. I didn't think they were looking for the baby. Mm-hmm. I think that the guard said, I thought he said that the door was locked. He put something in there.
Yeah. Well.
And now it's gone. And that's when Snow said she made it out.
Fair enough. But I think she would have. Anyway.
Either way. I mean, if she wanted to take the baby, I guess that's possible. But remember, part of the reason why Regina didn't enact the curse at first is because she didn't know how to do it. Mm. She didn't do it right. And she had to go back to Rumple. So,
well,
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, these are cool questions to kind of say, yeah, wow, I wonder. So,
right.
And I think that the possibility is there it could have played into, you know, the way they wrote it, you know.
That's a very real possibility. I mean, we didn't see the full intent, and we only saw snippets and pieces of what really happened. So I think there's more to, I think there's pieces that we didn't see. And maybe there will come a point where Regina will have the conversation why she's holding off, because maybe for some reason Rumple tells her don't do it yet. The baby hasn't been born yet. What baby? Snow's baby. Because has she seen Snow since the wedding? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities of things we just have not seen.
Yep. Well, and another thing, too, is it's interesting, you know, people give Regina a hard time, but I'm like, wait a minute. You know, she has these two people that she has to deal with. She has to deal with Maleficent, and she's got to deal with Rumpelstiltskin to get things done.
Right.
And I think, and that's another thing, is I want to know. If Rumpelstiltskin, obviously he's had dealings with Maleficent somewhere, you know. And then also you bring in the blind witch in the thing. She had the apple. So there's all these people that she's got to work with to get things done. Right. And then if they have their own axe to grind, no wonder there's problems, you know.
True.
You know,
true.
Plus you got Rumpelstiltskin in the jail cell tipping off everybody. To her stuff.
Right.
I mean, you can't... It would be very difficult to have a plan pull off properly when you got the guy that created the curse, that passed it off to somebody else and traded this and that somewhere else, working against you behind your back. That's crazy, you know? And I mean, you know, look, you know, she's the evil queen and all this stuff, but the cards are stacked against her if you really think about it. There's so many people involved that have, you know, their own thing that they're working on.
Correct.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And who orchestrated all of it.
Right. Well, he, you know, definitely Rumpelstiltskin did.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But I wonder, okay, so here's my big question with that, is what was the thing that put them at odds?
Who?
Regina, the evil queen, and Rumpelstiltskin. What put them at odds? Because at some point, they probably worked together. At some point.
Hmm.
So.
Well, let's see. I don't know. I don't think we know. I think Regina made a deal with him for something, and it went bad, and that's why she thought he was an ally, and then he turned out not to be.
Yep.
Right. But she also knows and recognizes it because he is who he is, and as brilliant as he is, and is a mastermind at everything he does, she knows she can't really completely cross him off her, you know.
Well, but then also bring in the fact, you know, and this is another one of my questions,
mm-hmm.
is what dealings did Cora have with Rumpelstiltskin? I think that plays into the Evil Queen thing,
very
too.
Very likely as
is
well.
Is that all those things that Cora really planned to get to the Evil Queen, the place where she was, you know, a queen,
mm-hmm.
you know, Rumpelstiltskin, I think, rooked Cora out of a bunch of stuff.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he gave her just enough power, but nothing
right.
really overly whatever. And then, therefore, she realized that she'd been duped.
Yep. Okay, let's shift gears for just a minute, and then we'll kind of okay. jump in. I really enjoyed this this discussion. I hope
yeah.
the chatters in the chat room are enjoying it, too, hopefully.
I think so.
Okay. So, when I go around to eat food in restaurants,
yes.
I drop the podcast card in the little thing
yep.
where you win whatever.
And free lunch or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We won.
Something. We did?
So I'm going to play you the message. And I don't think she curses or says anything bad, but I'm going to play you what I got.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. Here we go.
Hi, this message is for Jess Ronnie and Colleen Ronnie. My name is Amber. I'm calling from Chevy's in Novato, and you have won a hosted happy hour. So how it works is your first round of margaritas will be 99 cents. For every six people in your party, you will receive a free sampler platter. And for your return visit, you will receive a buy four, get one free entree card. So basically, I'm going to pop you over an email at theonceapodcast@gmail.com. And it's just a Gmail shared document. So just go ahead and view it. Follow the instructions on the document. Call and make your reservation with a manager. Come in and have some fun. So we hope to see you soon, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thanks, Amber.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know that we'll be going anytime soon. That's a little bit
of a
drive.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Because I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah. Thank you for being a part of the podcast.
Okay, and by the way, you know when that was, right?
Yeah.
You dropped the card in March.
I know. I know. And she called 9 days ago.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay. So I guess we're going to have to plan a trip up north again, aren't we?
I don't know how long this offer stands.
Well, we're going to have to look at the document and find out. I mean, it's kind of cool.
So yeah, I thought it was kind of fun.
We have to figure out where that is again, too. I mean, I know where Novato is, but...
Right up the freeway. That's where we ate.
It is.
I was so hungry that day. I think I ate two... This is so boring for me. I ate two bowls of chips soup. Myself. I
oh,
was
yeah.
so hungry.
Oh, yeah. We were pretty hungry. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Anyway. All right. And then this is from Shannon. And here we go.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Colleen. This is Shannon, a.k.a. Shay. Hey, listen, you guys. I was just calling to once again take the time to thank you for a wonderful, wonderful time we had last weekend and to meet everybody else. And I just want to say thank you for the preparation and all the time and the commitment you guys did to make this trip happen. And we do appreciate, again, all that you do for us. And we, of course, are excited for a new season coming. And we're going to ride this ride again together for season two. So, anyways, I just was calling, had you guys on my mind today, and all my other oncers. So, love you guys very much, and it was a pleasure meeting the ones that I did, and then, of course, the ones that couldn't make it, you were thought of, but, yes, thank you so much, again, you two, for taking the time to make this trip happen. So, it was a wonderful, wonderful time and a great experience. So, anyways, I will talk with you guys later, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Shay.
Yeah, thanks.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
And, you know, I kept worrying and thinking, man, people are just melting away. But, you know, all the tweets and from what I could gather, everyone was having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kept noticing is that people were kind of clumped together and talking, you know, and it's like, that's what it's about. That's
right.
What it's about.
Exactly.
Is getting everybody together and just letting everybody have the opportunity to talk. So I did tell the lady at the ticket booth, I said, I'll pay extra on the ticket if you'll put a bubble over this park and get air conditioning going, because it was hot.
It was hot. It was very hot. She's a ninja, man. I swear I saw her go out down the hall, and then I'm snapping at her, and she's sitting to my left. She does that all the time. I don't know how she does it. She's not, like, anyway.
Yeah. She has ninja skills.
She has mad ninja skills.
Bullfighting skills.
She does not have bullfighting.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening, thank you. And for those of you who don't go to the blog, you should.
Mm-hmm.
And because I did a little kind of a fun thing here, is on the header of the blog, which is a picture up at the top,
mm-hmm.
is I'm going to geek out just for a little bit.
Okay.
Is the picture on the left is the new Once Upon a Time photo.
Okay.
They released at Comic-Con. Then there's a date. And then on the right, it's Rumpelstiltskin looking out of the jail, his cell.
Uh-huh.
And I let it run for, I don't know, about a minute and a half or around there. And then it changes.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of like, ah. But it's an animated GIF, so it's just.
That's cool.
You kind of don't. Anyway, nobody cares, but I thought it was cool. So anyway, also, another thing I posted, and I've talked about it a long time ago before, is the people in the evil queen fire ring.
Yeah.
Who the heck are those people? I mean, we kind of did the same thing with the war council.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I mean, obviously it's easier with them. Cause,
well, we know one of them is the gnome.
Right. So okay, so let's go through it. We have the evil queen.
Yep.
We have Henry Sr.
Yes.
And we have the gnome.
Yes.
We have the ogre, played by Ernst,
mm-hmm.
right? We have the blind witch.
A blind witch, not the same blind witch.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not the same blind witch. Promise.
Okay.
Promise.
All right.
The blind witch you're talking about in the firing has her eyes sewn shut.
Right, okay.
The blind witch in True North does not have her eyes sewn shut.
Fair enough.
I believe that is one of the fates.
Okay.
In Greek mythology. That's what I believe.
Okay. So what I did, let's go through. I brought up the photo. I gave them all numbers so we can kind of keep it straight. Who's who? Okay. Evil Queen's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil Regals go wild, clapping.
Yay.
And cheering. Number two is a faceless guard for the evil queen. We don't know who it is.
Right.
Number three is a Viking looking warrior.
Hmm.
I don't know who this guy is.
Maybe it's Thor. Maybe it's Loki. Probably more likely to be Loki.
Well, I don't know. Possibly.
Very possibly.
He obviously, he looks to me, in The Lord of the Rings, he looks like John Rhys-Davies' character.
Okay.
That's who he looks like to me. But anyway, okay. It's just, I don't know who it
is. Maybe he's so, Odin.
No, possibly. But he looks very Viking-ish. And I've got a picture, a screenshot of him. So number four is the blind witch with the eyes sewn shut.
Which I believe is the fate.
Okay.
One of the fates.
Number five is the gnome.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is a female baddie.
Okay.
The heart, the blackest heart, right? Whoever this woman is, that's, you know, I don't know. Some female, someone. Number seven is this tall, red armored, horned warrior.
Okay.
The only thing I'm thinking of is this person is possibly somebody who defected from the Red Queen.
Oh, that's a possibility.
Maybe. I don't know.
Possibility.
I have no idea. I haven't gone back to look and to check it out and make sure and all this. But, I mean, it's red, tall.
Yeah.
Got horns. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Number eight is the other faceless guard for the evil queen.
Yeah.
Who holds the heart box that she is using for this dark curse. And also that heart box shows up on the mayor's desk, by the way.
Mm.
I did a blog post about that, too.
Nice.
And then Henry, senior's number nine. And number 10 is the ogre, played by Ernst. So we've got...
What?
We need to hook a GPS to the dog. You keep looking around.
I say, well, I heard her. I thought she was tearing a box apart like she was earlier.
She's not tearing a box.
Okay,
no.
Anyway. She's being
so
good.
Anyway, okay, we've got 10 people around this evil fire ring thing.
Okay.
And at least three of them, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, well, so, maybe we'll find out this season.
Yep. So, also, I did a post about the Jefferson's hat and how it reminded me of the trees in the Nightmare Before Christmas. The trees that represented the different holidays.
The hat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes I'll watch the show and I'll go, oh, well, you know, these things. Are you okay?
I'm fantastic.
Okay.
Please move forward.
All right. So, So please check out the blog posts. They're pretty cool. Another thing I noticed is watching the first couple of episodes is we know for a fact, at least via the finale, that the library door.
Go ahead.
The library door is chained shut.
Yes.
But the library door in The Price of Gold is open. It's just open.
Maybe it's an oops.
Oh, you know, maybe Don Juanito is. I don't know.
He might have been in there swipping.
But I mean, it's kind of nutty. So
yeah.
Anyhow, also, it's kind of funny, one of the CGI clock towers, the curved window is jet black, but then you look at another angle, and it's like the wood, you know. So, anyway.
Okay.
All right. So, I also did a post about creating screen grabs from watching videos. So there's a couple of different ways to do that because some people have asked me how. And so that's how. Also, we have... I did a blog post about how you introduce somebody else to Once Upon a Time. There's a couple of tweets that somebody had sent saying... You know, my friend was watching, and they're interested in that kind of a thing. So I wanted some stories. And I got two, you know, two
That's
better
cool.
than none. But my site's taking a little bit of time to open up.
Uh-oh.
Open. Open. Come on. You can do this. Okay, so Karen said, I work in a group session at a personal trainer's on Monday last winter. I invited my workout partner over for dinner after our session. I cooked dinner and put on an episode once to try to lure her in. Things were going well, me explaining things, she asking questions, until I got a major back pain and ended up balled up on the floor and went to the hospital. It turned out to be a kidney stone.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't tried to introduce anyone since. Too risky. Well.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny that she's concerned that it's because of that that happened. I mean, it's quite a coincidence.
I think she was kidding. But
well, I would
you got to
so
take
too.
Care of yourself, Karen.
Absolutely.
And do what the doctor says. If the doctor says drink more water, you got to drink more water.
Yes.
Right? Because that helps that.
I believe
that
so.
That malady.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
All right. So Tiffany said, I would talk about it at lunch on Tuesdays. I would talk about the show to a couple of others. Then while walking back to the classroom, I would discuss what I hear on your podcast. I just talked about it, but I recently ran into the person I had been talking to, and they use ABC streaming to watch the episodes and are hooked. But in turn, they hooked me into Grimm. So it was a decent trade. She got the better end of the trade. with many great characters, Grimm has a few, but Story, Brooke, can take on Grimm any day. So,
nice.
So yeah, I mean, the key to this thing, here's what I've experienced with people. You know, they basically, I think everybody, when you talk to somebody else, then there's a question that's kind of like this. What's your deal? Everybody has a thing, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you surf, you whatever, you mm-hmm. knit, you there's
cook,
you know, some
read.
People's church, some people, there's all kinds of people's things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we say we do a podcast. You mm-hmm. know, well, what's a podcast? You know, explain. Then, you know, you say, well, what's it about? Say, well, you know, it's about a show, Once Upon a Time. Oh, I've heard about that, but I've never watched the show. Oh, what do you watch? Well, you know, CSI, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something completely opposite, right?
Right.
So, you know, the reason I even bring this up is to, you know, we've talked about it before, the elevator pitch, the quick way to kind of explain, look, it's all the fairy tale characters that you know, but there's a twist. The evil queen put a dark curse in place. Nobody remembers who they are. And, you know, there's a savior to come, Snow White's daughter, to, you know, eradicate the curse. And that's right. Really, you know, season one. So, you know, you have to find a way to explain it to folks
mm-hmm.
so that they are interested and they kind of get a leg up on it. Because it is kind of tough because people... I've heard this too, is that people are kind of stuck on the whole Disney version of all these fairy tales. And so it's hard with Once Upon a Time because they're expecting exactly what they saw in the movies.
No, it's true.
And
it's very true.
Completely different. Or a lot of different.
Right, right.
So anyway, that's what I think is going to be important. You know, obviously to, you know, the listener of the podcast, but also the viewers of, you know, Once Upon a Time. You know, we're really coming into this huge time. Emmy nominations, a lot of awards going on, the Alma Awards and all that. A lot of cool things are happening. You know, Richard Schiff is, you know, King Leopold is doing a bunch of cool stuff. You know, Robert Carlyle and all. There's all these really cool things are happening, but we still need to build this audience. Because I remember every week... And you, hopefully, if you're listening, you may remember it too. We're on pins and needles. Every time they came out with how many people were watching the show, what was the share, what was, you know.
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
Are they in the top five
mm-hmm.
at all, age group, and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
So to alleviate that, you know, we have to basically make new oncers. And that's what we need to do. So if that means, We're going to have to talk to people. You know, once I kind of explain, once I tell people that I drove up to Canada for a podcast about a television show, they go, I'm going to have to check that out. Because they say, if you went to that kind of, if you
length,
did that,
yeah.
That's either kooky or I'm going to have to check it out. So,
well, and like Regina says, and gold, once there's art born, they're made.
Right, right. So that's the thing is, obviously you don't want to harass and bother people.
Right.
But I mean, look.
Well, last weekend at the meetup, when I was in line for Radiator Springs, we did single rider line, and I'm standing there, and the guy that's one of the ride operators, he says, hey. He goes, hey, do you like the show? Because he saw my buttons. And I go, yeah, we do a podcast about it. And he goes, oh, and I said, yeah, and I showed him my badge. He goes, really? And I go, uh-huh. I said, we actually went up there to Canada where they film. And he goes, really? And I go, we met some of the cast, and we've had the cast call in, and we're pretty closely connected with some of them on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, really? That's cool. I'm going to have to check it out. So, and he goes, well, I love podcasts. And he goes, and I said, do you watch the show? And he goes, yeah, I love it. So it was kind of an interesting, you know, it's just those random little conversations that just happen that, you know, if he hadn't been a Once Upon a Time fan, he would have been after I was done with him.
Well, you know, in talking to you, you know, my upbringing, it does sound like the normative way that a religious group mm-hmm. kind of builds numbers.
Yeah.
Is you mention it, you talk about it, you introduce, you do the best you can to kind of help them get
right.
it at first.
Right.
And then they have the opportunity to kind of to tip their toe in the water and move on from
sure.
there.
Sure.
But what I love about, I think, the approach that we take it, for instance, we watch Once Upon a Time together.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Right.
So that we can, you know, gasp and it's like, oh my gosh, did you see that? Wow, that was amazing. And that's really how this podcast was born. So, you know, I know a number of people, you know, they Skype to each other and
yeah.
watch the episode, or they, you know, chat. We have chat rooms for, I think, not every time zone in the world, but I think we have most of them for
well,
the
North
U.S.
America.
And Canada.
Yeah, North America, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's another way that you can kind of stay connected, you know. And I think, you know, people invite people over to the house. Say, look, you know, it's one Sunday. We're going to have some dinner. Why don't you come on over? We'll check it out. You have any questions, don't ask during the show. But you can wait
yeah.
till after. And we will, you know, we'll DVR it. We'll rewind. We'll talk about it. But, you know, now's the time to do it because the TV Guide has, mm-hmm. you know, the ones cast on it.
Yep.
And so, you know, Entertainment Weekly's had some things. So, anyway, now's the time to introduce new folks to the show. And, you know, one day I think it'd be cool to have somebody brand new, you know, call the podcast and say, you know, wow, yeah, just kind of, you know, what did you think initially when somebody pitched the show? Well, it was kind of weird and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, there's a point where you hit, like, the first or second, maybe third or fourth episode, you go, wow, this is incredible. This is really something I need to watch. So,
yeah.
So introduce it to your friends. Don't be mean. Don't harass. Just introduce and let us know about it. Because, you know, they may go, well, this really isn't for me. I'm going to go back to watching Big Brother, you know. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck on that. See ya. All right. So let me go back to some of my questions. Unless there's something in the chat room, maybe.
No, it's pretty quiet in the chat room tonight for some reason.
Okay.
We had a lot of people in there at first, and then now it looks like we don't have as many. I don't know where everybody went, so
okay.
maybe we didn't get as many because people didn't think we were podcasting tonight. It's a possibility,
yeah.
since we didn't last week.
Okay.
Anyway.
So Mr. K.
Mr. K.
He's the one that always stuck out in my mind. Somebody that gets a name is important.
Typically,
so
yeah.
when I think this was in True North, when she wanted to get some information, she went in to see Mr. K.
I think she was looking for birth certificates, right?
Yeah, Quigtalski or something like that.
Yeah, and said, I can't remember. It's just Mr. K. And I cannot off the top of my head remember the name.
Yep.
It was rather a long one, though. I do remember that.
So I kept thinking when I looked at him, I said, maybe that's a Mad Hatter, because it's kind of the classic turned up nose, you know, I looked at the face. I went, that's the face of the cartoon, actually.
Hmm.
And some of the drawings, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, my question is, I wonder who the fairy tale character for him is. Because I don't think, look, I mean, there's a lot of kids in the school, and there's a lot of people in the background. There's that weird woman that sweeps the sidewalk. But I think everybody has a fairy tale counterpart. Or maybe the evil queen sent people there to integrate them into an already established town. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
That's true. Didn't she?
So but anyway, I just wonder who that Mr. K is, you know. Who is Rumple's wife?
Yeah, I would like to know who that is.
And again,
Who's his first wife?
We could kind of spin the wheel, bum, 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 and just choose somebody. Say, it is so-and-so.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how that all works itself out.
You know, and then, you know, the question I always had was, you know, when Bale and Rumple were talking, you know, well, where's my mom? It's like, well, she's gone or she's dead. She's gone.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's the old Obi-Wan. Well, what I said was true from a certain point of view, but it really wasn't true. It was, you know.
You're talking about Rumple's wife?
Right.
I thought he said she died.
Okay.
Pretty sure he said, no, she is dead.
Okay. So, anyhow. But yeah, that's another one of my questions. So... The mascot's going wild over here.
she's going stir crazy because she didn't have where to go and she's killing her cow.
All right. So, okay. I want to talk about another thing, too, that I kind of... Can anybody hear that?
I don't know if they can or not, but it's very funny.
A little cute growly thing when she's shaking the toy.
Yeah, she's trying to break its neck, which is very funny.
Okay. Very nice. All right. So there are what I call points of power in Storybrooke and in the fairy tale world. So the one in particular that I stumbled upon in my thinkings was the apple tree. Okay. So we know initially the apple tree was a small little tree when Snow was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
With Cora.
Mm-hmm.
But the tree was planted.
You mean when Regina was growing up with Cora?
Yeah, yeah.
Not Snow.
So, yeah. Sorry. Regina was growing up with Cora. But Snow was there, but yeah.
Right.
But the tree was planted, and the first time we saw the tree was when the genie came to the palace.
That's when we saw it in Fairy Tale World.
Right.
Yes.
So that tree was in the area of the palace. And then we see the apple tree outside of the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking mayor's office, power, the queen's palace, power.
Right.
Same place, pretty much. Apple tree, same spot, you know, and that goes way back when I said it's almost like the fairy tale world is kind of right on top of Storybrooke.
Yep.
In a way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those points of power where, you know, she was very, very worried, obviously, that the apple tree, first of all, was being cut down.
Right, right.
I mean, and the second thing is the apples that started to die. You know, toward the end of season one, she was very concerned about that and thinking that had something to do with the curse weakening.
Right.
Right. So with that in mind, I have a number of folks really kind of taking a look at certain areas in Storybrooke and in the Freytail land to see if we can kind of put other points of power together to kind of see. Because if you think about it, so the Troll Bridge and the Toll Bridge, that's another one. Right. All kinds of really... Let's talk about this a second, okay? So you got the apple tree that's kind of just there. But the Troll Bridge is where, let's say, for the first time, you know, Snow rescued Prince Charming and Prince Charming fought for Snow. So, you know, perhaps maybe that's where...
They found love.
Perhaps.
They fell in love.
Possibly.
Yes. Okay.
Even though it was kind of a cute little discussion there in the net... You know, thing.
Right.
That was kind of cute. But the Troll Bridge, I think, was, you know, possibly going to die, right?
Yes. That's why I think they fell in love at the Troll Bridge.
So then the Toll Bridge in Storybrooke, obviously, it's the same place, area. So a lot of things happened there. David was found there.
Yes.
Mary Margaret kissed him there and brought him back to life.
Right.
Okay. So the other thing is Ruby found the heart of someone, not Catherine. That was also the place where August had the shin splints, you know, when he's walking up to that same area where the heart box was, right next to the toll bridge.
Yes.
And they found that shard of the... they found the shard of the shovel.
Oh, the shovel, right. Mm-hmm.
And next to the toll bridge is also where David and Mary Margaret had their little picnic. That's also the place where David broke up with Mary Margaret.
Yep.
So you see what I'm kind of getting at?
Yeah.
These are places where
important
I don't
and
think
powerful things happen.
It is just coincidence.
No. Mm-mm.
So I think these are important places that could have connections wherever. So, yeah. There's a couple of other places, but we'll just kind of stick to those right there.
Sure.
So let's go back to Nat's list. Did Mr. Goal remember who he was in the moment he met Emma in the pilot episode? Emma, what a beautiful name. And that's a valid question. You know, did he know Emma's name before?
Yes, he did. He knew her name before.
Okay.
Because remember he asked Snow,
right.
What is the name of the child, the baby?
So he carried a lot of information over then.
I think he did. I think he knew exactly who he was from the beginning. I don't think he was ever in the dark at all.
Okay.
What I think is because of the fact that Regina knew who she was, because she was outside the curse. I think he was somewhat outside the curse as well.
Okay.
Because I think that him being in the jail, in the prison, that protected him from... Because remember, it kept him... The magic... He didn't have any magic anymore, right?
Right.
Because the pen took it away. The quill took it away. So he had to be kept in a special cell because he was so powerful. Right? Mm-hmm. So my thinking is that because he got transported to a different world and magic was taken away, he must have had some magic still that wasn't powerful enough to get him out of the cell, but he, you know, it kept him in his normal form. He didn't have the power to transform into gold, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he knew exactly who he was when he got there, and I think he played the secret for 28 years with Regina. Because he didn't need to tell her he knew who he was. He just had to sit and wait for the curse to be broken.
Yeah.
And the minute Emma came into town, then he is all of a sudden, okay, plan's back in motion now.
Well, that's another sad thing, too, is that in Regina's blind rage with this dark curse, she really was in the dark about a lot of stuff. Maybe not everything. But he certainly got a pass, yeah.
I don't know. Based on just... It's perfectly feasible that he got all his memory back the minute he heard Emma's name. You know what I mean?
But
kind of like how Sheriff Graham got his when he kissed Emma.
Right.
It's entirely possible that it just kind of came back for him. I kind of seriously think he actually knew who he was before that happened. Because Jefferson knew who he was the entire time.
Yeah.
And he was outside the curse because he was in Wonderland. Rumpel was in the prison cell where he was sort of somewhat outside the curse, mm-hmm. right? Protected, right?
Right.
So it makes perfect sense for him to know who he was, or at least have some inkling, because I don't think it just came back all of a sudden at one time. It took a while for Sheriff Graham to get his actual full memory back. There was a lot of things that had to happen before he got it back. He got it in bits and pieces. Even David's getting it in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for him, I think it started a long time ago. If maybe he didn't know when he first got into Storybrooke, I think he's been knowing or learning and remembering who he was over the years by little things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he was completely in the dark when Emma came into town.
I think what's interesting is part of the whole Storybrooke thing is that it was a waiting game, because yep. they were all waiting for Emma or someone to show up. And then also, when Pinocchio was in Phuket,
mm-hmm.
then he realized, oh my gosh, I've been messing around for 28 years.
He said that's when he got a sharp pain.
Right.
So he knew mm-hmm. that was, curse is broken, or curse is going to be broken. He knew he'd messed up.
Yep.
So it was a wake-up call for him. But again, he was outside the curse, too, for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, the fact is that these people were outside the curse. Yes, they had some sort of a curse placed upon them because they were outside the curse. They didn't know who they were, quote-unquote, the majority of them, Snow White, Prince Charming, all those folks, they don't know who they are. But the ones who are outside the curse, their curse was having to live with the knowledge of who they really are and having two worlds, like Jefferson said.
Right.
Pinocchio, August had to have had some conflicting, emotions of knowing that he was Pinocchio and knowing he was basically not doing what he was supposed to do.
True.
Do you know what I mean? So that's why I think for Rumpel, he was outside the curse, but yeah, the curse for him was being stuck in fairy tale world in Storybrooke and not being able to go look for his son. I think that was his curse. Not so much that he didn't know who he was. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I think that if anything, that was his, that was the frustration for him. Jefferson's was being separated from his daughter, knowing who he was, knowing who she was, and knowing that she did not know who he was. That was his curse.
Mm-hmm.
Pinocchio's was running off and gallivanting and going to Pleasure Island like crazy, and then realizing that he'd messed up royally and feeling the guilt. That's what, that's why he came back, is because he felt the guilt. And I think maybe he may have felt it before. I don't know. But for Regina is perfectly happy. She didn't feel cursed.
Right. Yep.
And Rumpel, it was not being able to go look for Bay. That's just my thinking.
Yep. So another thing that kind of bugs me is what's the story with the heart vaults in Wonderland, Storybrooke, and Fairytaleland? Who copied who? Did the Queen of Hearts steal one or trade it in a deal?
Of what?
The heart vaults.
Oh. Interesting.
Obviously, the heart vault in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
We know for sure one of the drawers was Henry Sr.
Right.
Shrunk down.
Mm-hmm.
more than likely from whatever you ate or drank or something in Wonderland. That's what we know, right?
People shrink. Yeah.
People shrink.
Okay? Eat me, drink me, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but the heart vault.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe that was a deal that, I don't know. Because to me, the Regina, Queen Regina, and the Evil Queen had some kind of dealings. And I know a lot of people think that she's Korra or something like that. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't buy that. But go ahead.
I think they're competitors. God help us all if they both get on the same side. That would be very, very interesting to see.
Yeah, it would be. So back to the question, which was, is the heart vault that Regina has a copy, or was it somehow inherited from the Queen of Hearts? Personally, I think that she copied it. Mm-hmm. Maybe she traded for it.
Yeah.
Or, because she had clearly been to Wonderland before.
Right.
So I'm kind of thinking maybe she kind of went, oh, hey, that's kind of a fun thing. I don't want the head. Let me get the heart instead.
Right. Yep.
Just my 2 cents.
Yep. So, and then how did Henry Sr. end up in Wonderland? Did the Evil Queen trade Henry Sr. for Jefferson in a previous trip or what?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, how did he end up there?
Yep.
I hope they tell us in this season. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Because it seems like, in my opinion, that Henry Sr. is always the fall guy. But he's a fall guy because he loves Regina.
He willingly becomes her fall guy.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I think, maybe she went in there to get Jefferson out because she knew that Jefferson could get her back in at some point in time.
Possibly.
And so maybe she said, Father, look, I need you to stay here because only two can leave. And I'll come back for you, but I got to go.
For all we know, the Queen of Hearts kidnapped him.
Possibly, yeah. And that's another interesting thing.
I'm just spitballing here, but right. maybe she kidnapped him as some sort of like, I got your daddy, come and get him so I can kill you.
Mm-hmm. Another one is, what wizard did Granny interact with to make Red's hood and cape?
I'm going with Rumple.
Well, okay, it could have been Rumple. It could have been the wizard from
Wizard of Oz.
Could have been the Wizard of Oz, and in that case,
Merlin.
It could have been Merlin,
or Retlaw Yensid or something like that.
Huh?
I think that's the name that they gave to the wizard in The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, okay.
It's right. Walter Disney backwards. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's another thing that I'm interested in. And, why... If it was Rumple, and he did, create or magically created this hood and cape to keep her not being a wolf,
right.
Why? And then what was the trade?
Well, who says there was a trade?
Okay.
We're assuming that because Rumple trades all the time, makes deals, we're assuming everybody else does,
too. No, I'm not saying that. Oh. I'm saying if it was Rumple, there would have been
another side of the deal. But, if it had been somebody like the Wizard of Oz and, or Merlin or Yensid Retlaw or whatever they're calling him.
What if that wizard got the power from the Dark One before?
That's a possibility, too. That's the thing. If it was, any one of them, right. Could they have gotten it from the Dark One? Could they have gotten it from Earl Gorham? There's any number of things. And actually,
Yeah, it keeps going back to the Blue Fairy,
Everything kind of goes back to Blue Fairy. Blue Fairy and Rumpel. Mm-hmm. But didn't Granny pay money for it?
She didn't say. She said she saw a wizard for it.
I thought she paid handsomely for it, but I could be wrong. I could swear she said it. I just saw the episode not too long ago. I'm pretty sure she said she paid for a wizard for the cloak. She bought it from a wizard. So, again, that would lead me to think if she paid for it, Rumpel doesn't deal in coins. He doesn't need that.
Right.
He wants something else. So it's probably not Rumpel. It's probably more likely to be Merlin or Wizard of Oz or, Wizard of Oz would be kind of an obvious choice only because of the name. She said wizard.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, so any number of reasons, any number of things. So
I've got two more. I've got two more questions, and then some closing thoughts, and then that's it for this evening. So my first of the final two questions is: who is the grain merchant that James' mother was talking about?
Oh yeah.
Or what? Oh, I'm sorry. Is the grain merchant the miller? And was it Henry Sr.? Obviously, we didn't see what happened when she went to go shop at the market.
I'm not thinking.
Okay. So that's
possibly. Yeah. Oh, no. If it was Henry Sr., that would mean that the grain merchant's daughter would be Regina. So that's a very real possibility. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look how she kind of like played up to him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we're just friends. So remember how she like tried to kiss him in the house that when he came over to her and she found him dinner.
Well, storybook, but
I understand, but what I'm saying is the relationship between them.
Yeah.
There was a hint at there was some attraction on her part, and very possibly, if in fact,
this is okay.
Well, no, I'm just thinking that if in fact, because didn't James seem to know who the grain merchant was?
Yeah.
Then he would know who Regina is.
Right.
Very likely.
Right.
So it's probably not her.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's, for all we know, maybe Regina was off at magic school. I don't know.
Maybe there was another daughter. I don't know.
That's a possibility, too.
So now, the last one is something that I was, I asked before, long before, was David Nolan and John Doe.
Yes.
A mixture of James and the Shepherd. So, because the only reason I go there is that, remember when he was walking around in a forest in a daze?
Yes.
And he's like, I'm following, I'm looking.
But I don't think that was because he was two different people. I think it was because he was trying to find snow. Because he was in that funky haze that he goes into, that trance-like haze where he doesn't remember anything. It was his blackouts. And that's, I think, starting to remember what his real life was. Yeah. I don't think that David Nolan / John Doe was supposed to be a combination of the two. Okay. I just don't think that.
That's one of my questions, is because they kind of flip back and forth, and I know that the general belief is that it was David without his fairy tale memory and with and without and that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, I think it's completely in the realm of possibility that those two brothers are there. There is the shepherd. There's the kind side.
Yeah.
Then there is James, the strong side. And I think we saw both with David,
Sure, the duality is there, but I think that's true of any person.
Okay.
There's a duality in most everybody.
Okay. So anyway.
I don't think it's the same. I think there's two different people. We'll see if we actually, are we going to see the brother that was killed?
Mm-hmm.
See, that'd be more interesting to me, is are we going to see the brother that was killed?
Okay.
So.
All right. So we're almost done with this episode. Now, this is what I'm going to ask.
Okay.
is more than likely, because it's going to be tough. There's going to be spoilers aplenty flying around next weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
Next Saturday.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of thinking about not having a live show tomorrow or next weekend.
Next Saturday, yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Okay.
Unless I get a lot of feedback from you guys about what we should talk about. I think we've wrung this dry. I don't know of any other things we can really talk about. And we didn't do any comedy tonight.
No.
We didn't do anything else.
It was a very quiet evening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Quieter than normal.
Yep.
And I think it's because we know that certain people are gone. It's the last hurrah before, you know, school or some other stuff has started. And I think that's where, you know, I think people forgot that we were going to go live tonight. Because honestly, our chat room's normally way more filled than this.
Yep.
So it's a possibility. You know, I mean, people are off doing other things. People are getting back from vacations.
Yeah.
People are on vacation. So I think that's why it was kind of quiet.
So, you know, we could do maybe an hour next week, whatever.
I don't know that. I mean, we'll play by ear. Let's just say, look, keep your eyes peeled on Twitter. We may not have a live show next week.
Yep. You know, but if we do go live, mm-hmm. I need your input.
Right.
It's this is a shared thing. We're all in this together.
Right.
And, you know, we could do some news stuff and all that, but I really don't have, you know, I mean, you know, look, if Ima can call in next weekend, that'd be cool, right?
Sure.
Talk to Ima about her trip to Steveston. Nothing wrong with that, you know,
right.
But, you know, I don't have much else. I mean, I'm just kind of looking forward to season two like everybody else.
Yeah. So. I think we should just postpone it till the week after. First live show after the series starts up again. After season one starts, or
right.
Season two starts up again.
Okay. So, so we will not be having a live show next Saturday.
Right.
Okay. So, that's cool.
But I do like these once wonders. So that's kind of a cool thing we need to bring, you know, up maybe more.
Yep.
You know, because some of those were really good questions.
Yep. Yep.
And actually, you know what? The grain merchant can't possibly be Henry Sr.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm thinking about it. It can't be him.
Okay.
Because Regina was already married to the king when Snow was a grown up.
Okay.
So he wouldn't be trying to pawn off his daughter to James.
Fair enough.
Right? Or whatever his name was before he became James.
Yep.
And I hope and that actually brings up another point. I hope we find out what his actual real name was.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe it'll be David.
Okay. Okay.
For a lot of reasons.
All right. So, thanks for listening. We are really trying our best to bulk up our blog. So, you know, and also assist us with the live show. So if you're the kind of person that loves to look through, you know, legit news and not scroll through all the spoilers on other sites.
Mm-hmm.
But if, for instance, the news that we cover is news that are news items. Somebody's going to be in a show. Somebody is helping out with a charity. Somebody's going to be in a parade as a grand marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Those are news items that aren't spoilers, and we want to support them. Somebody's in a movie. Somebody's in a television show that's, you know, whatever. So if you're the kind of person that looks through that kind of stuff and you scroll around and that really interests you, let me know. And, you know, I may have a couple of people, but normally it's kind of one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really enjoy somebody putting together the news for the live show. I would really appreciate that. And put links to where you found it from if you are interested. No, I mean, you should kind of already be doing it. But if you want ideas on how to do it faster or better, and we start to kind of communicate and and I find that you're the right person for it, then I'll show you quicker ways to do it. Okay. So that's about it. But I still need blog post writers. I really like to find somebody that loves Lost like crazy, but also loves Once Upon a Time and can kind of dig into the mythology and really have this kind of really deep knowledge of both shows, mm-hmm. and can talk about it. And, you know, the things that I'm interested in, you know. But anyway, if that's you and you feel comfortable with writing and maybe screen caps and that kind of thing, because there's a lot of things I really want to do. I just don't have time. But this is a great place that I think you can get noticed. And yeah. So anyhow, one more quick thing is I want to do some really fun things with the group. And I know that other folks out there are doing things like Secret Santa or Secret Christmas Angel or Secret Holiday something.
Uh-huh.
But I like to do those types of things. I also would like for folks to send me an email with their birthday. Not the year, but the birthday.
Well, they can send their year if they really want to, because some people are okay with sharing their age.
Right. And when you do that, please give me, please give me the name that you would feel comfortable me saying or whatever, but also your Twitter name as well. And, we want to try and make birthdays special. And, so
we know some folks' birthdays, we hear about them like last minute, and I know we've missed a ton of them over the last few months. And I feel really badly because we want to acknowledge people on their birthday. I think it's important. So,
some people are on Facebook, other people aren't. Some people are on Twitter, some people aren't. Some people that are listening right now aren't on Twitter at all.
Right.
So, between the three, I think we can kind of focus on that to make people feel special, because birthdays are special. And I feel special with everybody giving me birthday wishes, and I want to do the same for everybody else.
Right.
So that's it. Thank you so much. As we kind of talked about it, sorry if it was confusing, but in the end, we are going to postpone next week's live show because I think it's just going to be crazy. But we're looking forward to next Sunday night, and then we'll
because next Sunday night is the season premiere.
Right.
And what else? Okay, seriously, you're giving me that deer in the headlights look, sweetie. You know what comes after
First
show?
Thoughts.
Thank you.
Right. I was trying to think if it was our first kiss or first date or something.
Oh, no, honey. It's show related. Yeah. No, okay. We don't have anything. Right. We don't have anything special.
Okay.
All that was June.
So that was my deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to send big love out to everybody. I hope everybody understood. We kind of discussed the spoiler thing, but we talked about it many, many, many times before. So, but it's important because there's a lot of mixed folks in this, podcast that listen and are part of it. We don't want to be spoiled. So I hope you understand. Hang in there with us. And we will talk. So the next time you hear us, First Thoughts, episode one of season two. So
and so it'll probably come out, maybe that night? I don't know. We'll see. That night, probably Monday, though. Huh? Monday morning, thing.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Anyway.
See you guys.
All right,
guys. Have a good evening.
Have fun.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.